much. Next item on the agenda is item 4, Army Corps of Engineers, item number 03-1365. Mr. Stagg.
Morning, Commissioners.
Morning, sir.
This project is a request by the Army Corps of Engineers to modify an existing permit, which authorizes the overboard placement of dredge material beyond the current time of year restriction, which is February 15th through June 30th, which was imposed to protect the anadromous fish species. The actual request is to allow placement of this material through March 31st of this year to allow for the removal of shoaling in this area, which is causing a draft restriction for ships transiting through the Dancing Point, Swan Point Channel area. The project's located in the James River. You'll note the circled area here is the area for the request. This is part of the entire channel network that goes up to City Point Shoal. A number of different areas here that are, they do have overboard disposal, starting at Tri-Bell Shoals and moving up. Again, this is the area. In question today. This is located in Surry County. The applicant had originally applied for a permit for overboard disposal along all these portions of the channel where you see the overboard disposal sites from Tri-Bell Shoals to Hopewell in 2003. After our standard public interest review, the commission did approve the permit in June of 2004 with a time of year restriction from February 15th through June 30th of any year for anadromous fish species protection. Subsequently, the applicant requested a permit modification on July 12th of 04, requesting overboard disposal during the time of year restriction be relaxed along the Goose Hill Channel portion of the, which is located in this area right here. The request was in conjunction with a proposed anadromous fish study to study migration to help determine impacts to those species while dredging was occurring. Another public interest review was held, and the permit request was granted for the calendar year of 2005 only. Which brings us back to the current, again, request, which is for the Dancing Point, Swan Point, Shoal Channel area here. This is just a typical cross-section. It was a series of typicals for each section of the channel in the original permit application, and this was the typical method of removal, initial placement, and then after natural distribution, it was spread out into the approved area for the overboard disposal. It should be noted that the act of dredging itself is exempt from our permit requirements because this is a federal project channel, and this is only for the disposal of the material upon state bottom. Specifically at this site, there was a number of cross-sectional drawings similar to this submitted with the request at different stations along this section. I only put two in the presentation because they all look somewhat similar, but basically you can see the area that is the channel area here, the shoaling in this area here and a slight area here. These are the two different dates of the datum when they took the soundings. And again, you can see that it's basically, it's there, it's staying, and it's maybe getting a little worse over time, again, from November and then December of last year. Obviously, they have a problem in this area. This is a different location along the same channel section. And as you can see, now the shoaling is on the opposite side, but is considerably, you know, it goes up to minus 20 here, and the channel is approved to minus 25. So those are two typical drawings. There's a number of them similar within the request. Both the Game and Inland Department of Game and Inland Fisheries and the Virginia Institute of Marine Science have historically opposed allowing overboard disposal within this reach of the river from February 15th through June 30th of any year. The game department has commented on this specific request, and they still oppose any shortening of the restriction. Further, in their correspondence, which is in your packet, they indicate that in light of this current warm winter, that fish may migrate even earlier than normal. In addition, their comments indicate that the fish study that was conducted under the previous request in 04 for the calendar year 05 was inconclusive related to anadromous fish along this section of the river. That was a very low recruitment year, and it appeared that the dredging basically was over before the fish actually migrated through, so they didn't get real good results. We also got information from the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, which also indicated that although this extension request will overlap the period of the upriver spawning migration of fish species, particularly American shad, the overboard disposal should not impact spawning or reduce survival of eggs and larvae, since this is not really an actual spawning or nursery area. It's really more of a migration area. Noting that the previous study results were inconclusive concerning fish migration, and in light of the current warm winter season again, VIMS also recommended caution and indicated that if the commission deemed granting this request was warranted, that another fish study be done in conjunction with this to get additional data. The Army Corps of Engineers indicates that part of the reason for their extension request, in addition to the shoaling problem itself, is that they cannot get their dredge contractor, who they already had contracted to do this job, on site, and that they are in the process of attempting to basically rebid and get another contractor in. They've stated that they don't believe they can do that and get the contractor started until near the end of this month, and I think their hope is to still get it done by the deadline of February 15th, but that may not be realistic in light of the time constraints. So they specifically requested till the end of March. Basically, their letter said they hope to get done by March 15th, but they would like a request to the end of March to cover just in case they can't. Again, the entire alignment, and again, we're talking about the overboard disposal just in this one location. So our summary and recommendation. While restriction of the commercial shipping along the James River is a serious issue, in light of comments from both the Game and Inland Fisheries and the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, staff cannot support the request to relax the current year time restrictions beyond March 1st. Should the commission deem the Corps' request to be warranted due to the current situation, staff recommends the Corps be required to undertake another anadromous fish study similar to the previous study, with protocols being reviewed in advance by both Game and Inland Fisheries and the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, specifically along just this reach of the James River, to be able to answer this question definitively. Should you grant a waiver, we would recommend it be one time only, and that the consideration of any further waivers be conditioned on the outcome of the study and its results. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions. I believe there's a number of representatives here from the Corps today.
Any questions of Mr. Stagg? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ben, you've indicated in your presentation that the dredging itself is not before us, but the disposal of the spoils.
That's correct.
Can you tell us what options the contractor would have for spoil disposal? In other words, if we're not allowing overboard disposal,
encourage upland disposal for the Army Corps, but historically in a number of these sections, the Corps did a study and basically came back. The study results were that, there were no other nearby options that were really economically feasible. It's always possible to do it upland if you have enough money to find site. But so I'm not really sure, considering the sort of emergency nature of this, that there's a lot of other options. This is an approved overboard disposal area that has been used numerous times in the past.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I have one question. The fish study, how long would it take? Do you know how long it would take based on your expertise to conduct, or somebody else better poised to answer that question?
Well, I wasn't involved in the previous one, but so I'm not really sure. VIMS may have a comment on that. But, I mean, the protocols have kind of in place from the previous study, I would assume, and so I don't think it would be as time-consuming as the previous time.
Okay, I don't mean to prejudge or prejudge. Right. I'm just asking a question. Mr. Varnell, of the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, for the record.
Ben's correct. The protocols are in place, so we could gear up a lot quicker than we did last time. It is a tagging study, remote tagging study. It is totally dependent on when dredging occurs, so we must work around that because that's the basis of the studies to see if shad do migrate around the dredging operation or if it alters the dredging. I mean, alters the migration.
Okay, so it'll be done in conjunction with the...
In conjunction with that. A little bit before, during, and somewhat after.
That answers my question. Thank you, Lyle. I appreciate it. Any other questions in response to my question? Thank you, Ben. We may have more questions. Is the applicant here represented? Army Corps of Engineers, would you like to address the... Well, come forward if you would.
Yeah, it's right there. It's already.
Will all three of you be testifying? Yeah. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you'll give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you very much. Could you state your name and who you're with for the record, please?
Good morning, Commissioner Bowman and members of the commission. My name is Betty Gray Waring.
Good to see you, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm Chief of Operations Branch at the Norfolk District Corps of Engineers. The James River Federal Navigation Project is one of the Norfolk District's most important deep draft navigation channels. It supports navigation from Hampton Roads to the Port of Richmond, a distance of about 90 miles. The project sponsor and some of the project users are here today to talk about the importance of the project to Virginia's economy. The Corps maintains the channel at the request and for the needs of the project sponsor and users. The Corps itself is not the beneficiary of the channel. Maintaining navigation is always a challenge on the James River due to its 90-mile channel length, numerous shoals, and many placement sites. In order to be able to dredge, the Corps must have adequate funding in the federal budget to cover all the dredging that's needed. It must have a contract with a dredging company to dredge the material and all environmental permits and clearances to assure that the dredging is performed in an environmentally acceptable manner. This year, our condition surveys of the river in November of 2006 revealed that one of the shoals in the Middle James River, the Dancing Point Swan Point Shoal, had unusual shoaling in the range of 8 feet in less than 1 year. Dancing Point Swan Point was not scheduled to be dredged until later this year, but due to the severe shoaling, we need to expedite the dredging to alleviate the restriction that it has caused. A lot of this shoaling, we think, is due to some of the storms that we had later this past summer. No federal budget has yet been passed by Congress. We're working under a continuing resolution authority right now, receiving funding incrementally since October 1st of 2006. We finally received enough funds for the James River dredging in mid-December, so that was only about a month ago. At about that same time, we learned that our open-end contract with the dredging company was no longer in place, as they had chosen not to renew our contract, most likely because they could make more money on other jobs. We were at a point where we need to extend that contract, and the dredging company refused to extend it. We are now soliciting other contractors for bids. Several attempts so far have failed due to receipt of bids that are too high for award. We do expect to receive more bids tomorrow, however, and we're optimistic that we're going to get some good bids. The unusual shoaling, as well as the funding and contracting delays, have now put us in the position where it's physically impossible for a contractor to begin and finish the work before the February 15th time of year restriction for Nazimus fish migration. Therefore, we're asking for this relaxation of these times because of these unusual and critical circumstances and because of the scientific evidence that we've gathered, which we'll talk about, that the dredging itself will not restrict the fish from moving upriver. Next, Keith Lockwood, a fisheries biologist at the Corps, will explain this Corps request for relaxation of the time of year restriction.
Thank you, Ms. Waring. Anybody have any questions, Ms. Waring, before she leaves the podium? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Mr. Lockwood, good morning.
Good morning. As Betty Gray said, I'm Keith Lockwood. I'm a fisheries scientist with Operations Branch. I've been heavily involved with the studies at Goose Hill Channel and James River, so I can speak on that a little bit at the end. But I did have a few slides I wanted to present to you. This first one is just another profile that, such as the one Ben showed you previously. However, this one also includes the after dredging survey of January 2006. Our last maintenance dredging cycle was last January, so it was just a year ago that we cleaned out Dancing Point Swan Point, and that was that bottom line. So we were at project depth in Dancing Point Swan Point a year ago. In October, we planned on dredging in July 2007. That was the schedule. However, a condition survey in November 2006 showed this urgent shoaling of 6 to 7 feet. This has been unprecedented, and it's probably either from Tropical Storm Ernesto or some other storms. Could have been material coming down at Chickahominy or the James, and or the James River. In December, another condition survey to confirm this shoaling, which shows it even has gotten a little worse to 7 to 8 feet. And all this has occurred in a little less than a year. So the time of year restriction in the middle James River. As Ben stated, Virginia Marine Science, you know, also agrees that this area with the salinity levels is just looking at passage of fish. You don't have to worry about spawning habitat or entrainment of larval fish or eggs or impacts of that. So you're just looking at potential impacts of dredging to passage of fish migrating upriver. The concern has been turbidity plumes caused by overboard placement and dredging operations. So if that is a concern, as many of you have been on the James River, there are many natural occurrences of heavy plumes from storm events, heavy winds, and also in this situation with significant shoaling, you have vessels that are transiting up to Hopewell and Richmond that are going to stir up a significant turbidity plume through prop wash. That's just the natural occurrence of things, and with heavy shoaling, you're going to get an increase of that. And this is in larger magnitude than a plume created by dredging operations. And I will defer more to that to Than Green from the Virginia Pilot Association. He's confirmed seeing this increase in Dancing Point Swan Point. He'll talk further to that. Although we do not have aerial images of vessels transiting Dancing Point, Swan Point, I do have an example of a vessel transiting a channel in New York Harbor with a dredge operating at the same time. You can see at the top, there's the dredge operating, and then to the right, there's a vessel moving into the channel or moving through the channel, and you can see some shoaling. And also the ship turbidity, the plume caused by turning into it, and then also you can see some down here.
Mr. Lockwood, are the depths similar in this picture to those that would be found in Dancing Point so the commission can make an informed decision as to the comparison of the two?
That I do not know. I got this from our research facility, and just this was the only picture I could come across showing. Okay. Vessels, and actually just had a dredge operating too, but
thank you.
No, I do not.
All right, thank you, sir.
So let's be conservative and state that turbidity caused by dredging and overboard placement does in fact impact fish. Just be complete 100% conservative on that and say it's 100% blockage. It's an island on the river at this location. Here is the section, a Dancing Point Swan Point. I took the average width of the river in this area, and it's 13,500 feet, a little over 2.5 miles wide. Documented width of overboard placement turbidity plume from dredging activities was 225 feet, and that was taken from Goose Hill Channel during some of the earlier anadromous fish studies. And this is just downriver, so it's a similar section of the James River, 225 feet turbidity plume. You divide that out over 13,500 feet, you have a little less than 2% of impact on the river width. Let's be conservative again and double that, 4% impacted. Therefore, we have 96 to 98% of the river that is wide open to fish moving up river. In the study, one thing that was conclusive in the study we did with Virginia Institute of Marine Science in 2005 is that fish were utilized in the entire habitat. There was some prior assumption or statement that fish were just staying in deeper waters and deeper channels, and that was a concern. So that was one thing we looked at. We did some active tracking of these fish, of American shad that we had tracking devices in, and they were utilizing all the habitats, shallow habitats, deep water, all the way across. So with this knowledge, there's quite a bit of room for them to move to pass through this area. In addition, there is already deep water above the channel at the mouth of the Chickahominy River. And so with this, I'm very confident that dredging operations in the channel would not adversely impact fish migrating upriver. With that, one last thing I would like to talk about is touch on the Virginia Eastern Marine Science concurrent study with us in our research facility. A concurrent study, if we try to do it this time, if we try to throw something together, I think, once again, it'd be inconclusive results, and it wouldn't be a sufficient study. And we started back when we did it. It was a two-year study. We did the first year without a dredge to see if we could catch shad and follow them upriver to their spawning areas. The second year, in 2005, we started in June getting the contracts. You have to purchase tags from, we did it at Low Tech, and they have to have, like, 4 to 6 months advance to get these. They have to make them when you place the order. In addition, just the resources need, you have to get private landowners to agree to have listening stations on the shoreline. So those agreements had to be in place months in advance. I think throwing something together would not be wise. However, I think this would be a good area to do a concurrent study to show positive results. The reason they were inconclusive in 2005 was we were planning to do in Goose Hill Channel, remove the shoal during the period of migration and see if, and have 100 American shad with tracking devices to see if they pass a dredge. However, in December of 2004, we had an urgent shoal in Goose Hill that was going to have draft restrictions in the river. So we went out there and had the contractor hit that shoal and hopefully leave enough to do the study as well. And then we came back out in February, and they ran out of material to dredge, and since we can't dredge any deeper than what's authorized, they had to stop. However, the water temperatures in spring of 2005 remained cold and didn't warm up until after dredging stopped, which is about 14 degrees Celsius, and therefore the fish moved up after dredging was over, so that's where the inconclusive results come in. However, we did actively track fish above, below, and all around the dredge on several days at the end of March they were dredging. But from my opinion, professional opinion, I think throwing together a study just, you know, right now would not give results that would be positive. However, I think this is an important thing that to remove this shoaling to prevent a longer-term impact of vessels going through, having problems with the constriction channel, and et cetera. But I'll defer more to that to Than Green.
Any questions of Mr. Lockwood? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioner Bowman, distinguished commission. My name is Steve Powell. I'm the project manager for the James River Federal Navigation Project for the Army Corps of Engineers. And I just really want to kind of let you make sure that you're aware of that we really tried everything that we could to try and avoid this time of year restriction. On the profiles that you saw in the after dredge that Mr. Lockwood just showed, you really saw a channel that was fairly restored at the end of January of just last year. And normally what we did in a channel like that is we put out a contract so that they would dredge it down to 26 foot plus 1 foot allowable so that it buys us a little bit of time before the channel needs dredging again. And of course, we did that at the last one, but this is really an anomaly. But unfortunately, what we're faced with is that the contract we're trying to get in place now is only to bring it back down to 25 feet plus 1 foot allowable, and that's about 250,000 cubic yards. So we've cut out any advanced maintenance So if this shoaling continues at the, anywhere near the rate, we'll probably have to come back again as well, either this summer or this fall.
That was going to be my question. I realize it's an anomaly, and I realize that in Smithfield we had 18 inches of rain about, probably 20 hours over that one weekend. But once an anomaly occurs one time, it's not an anomaly anymore, and it bears watching. And I would just hope that now with this advanced notice that you know that it could possibly happen to before the shipping industry has to let you know that maybe we can stay a little bit more on top of it to avoid this type of thing. That's one of my concerns.
Yeah.
I think we're good to go on it.
We did survey back in November, and that's really what showed us how bad the condition of the channel was. And then we went again in late December, surveyed again, and we are seeing shoaling, but not to the rate that we had seen over the previous 11 months. However, the shoaling is going to continue. Certainly, it'll get a lot worse if we can't dredge until July, when the time of year season opens up again.
Okay. Any questions from the commission? Thank you very much. Anyone else here? I think Mr. Moynihan. You want to speak, Mr. Moynihan? Good to have you here, sir. Yes, sir.
I have copies of prepared statements for the...
That would be great. Thank you, sir. Mr. Moynihan, would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Good to have you here, sir. State your name for the record, please.
Martin Moynihan. Good morning, gentlemen of the Virginia Marine Resource Commission. I'm Marty Moynihan. I'm the Executive Director of the Port of Richmond Commission, and I'm the Port Director for the City of Richmond's Deepwater Terminal. The City of Richmond is a local sponsor with the federal government for the James River Navigation Project. I'm speaking this morning to support the Norfolk District U.S. Army Corps of Engineers' request for a temporary lifting of the time-of-year restriction for dredging in the James River that starts 15 February through 30 June. The James River, as been mentioned, has experienced heavy shoaling in 2006 due to the above-normal rainfall and runoff into the river. The principal areas of severe shoaling have been Dancing Point, Swan Point Channel, Goose Hill Channel, and the Deepwater Turning Basin up in Richmond. However, Dancing Point Channel is the most critical. Due to this shoaling, the Virginia Pilot Association has had to place draft restrictions on vessels transiting the James River. Any vessel with a draft between 21.5 feet and 23.5 feet is required to coincide with high water at the east end of Dancing Point Shoal. This is less than the normal sailing draft of 24 feet from Hopewell. So they've lost 6 inches of draft coming out of Hopewell in spite of and have to hit that particular tide at that particular point. It's also 6 inches less than the maximum allowable high water sailing draft from Richmond. This is the first time in 10 years that the pilots have had to put a restriction on draft on the James River. We've been working as an industry and environmental and federal government with a James River partnership to ensure that we work together to avoid this kind of situation. Due to the abnormal circumstances, this is the first time in 10 years we've had draft restrictions on the James River. If dredging is not allowed in these areas until after the time of year restrictions are lifted on 1 July, additional shoaling and further draft restrictions are inevitable. And the springtime is when we have most of our freshets and most of the shoaling. This will have a significant economic impact on large vessels calling at Honeywell Corporation in Hopewell, Regional Enterprise Oil Terminal in Hopewell, the DuPont Corporation facility at Drewy's Bluff, and the Port of Richmond Deepwater Terminal. The reduction of 1 foot of draft for vessels navigating the James River will have a direct cost to the maritime industries of over $1 million over the next 6 months to a year, as well as, and this isn't counted in the dollar figure, as well as the diversion of container cargo to other ports outside of Virginia. They will not come down to Hampton Roads. The container vessels that come up to Richmond don't call in Hampton Roads. The one major vessel goes into Philadelphia. They would offload more cargo in Philadelphia in order to meet the draft restrictions in the James River, and that would be lost business for the port and for Virginia. This has been a very difficult year for the Army Corps of Engineers dredging program on the James River. After several years of very level federal funding for this project, in spite of increased costs for contract dredging and for all the environmental testing and fishery studies. The fiscal 2007 federal budget has not yet been passed, and the Corps is operating under a continuing resolution authority. Due to the delay in funding's become available, the prime dredging contractor has moved his equipment to another project, and the Corps has had to advertise for additional bids, causing this delay up to the time of year restriction, as well as for the increased cost for this dredging. The Norfolk District, as you've just heard, has done studies on the impact of dredging on migratory fish in the James River, and I believe there'll be a minimum, if any, impact, particularly at the wider, in this, particularly at the very beginning of the restricted period in that wide reach of the James River. And I urge you to grant the Corps of Engineers' request for a temporary lifting of the time of year restriction for dredging on the James River. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moynihan. Does anybody have any questions of Mr. Moynihan? First, Mr. McCluskey, then Mr. Tankard. Mr. McCluskey.
Do you know how many vessels transit that area, say, on a monthly basis?
Pilot could say it better, but I've, on a monthly basis, I get about six deep draft ships up to Richmond. About five, six times a year, there's a deep draft vessel that goes up to DuPont. There are gentlemen here from Honeywell Company that can say the number of vessels that transit there. But it's a significant amount of vessel traffic. The latest studies from the Corps of Engineers, I believe, show approximately 5 to 6 million tons of cargo transit the James River on an annual basis. I'm not aware specifically of the actual number of transits.
It's a lot of traffic.
Yes, I think so.
Well, apparently every time I get stopped on a James River bridge, one's coming through there, so that happens very frequently, so it's a lot of them. But anyway, any further questions, McCluskey?
Did you say that's quite an economic value?
Well, there are people here from Honeywell that would like to address that issue of the difference in draft and the cost and the things that they have to do. For the Port of Richmond, when I have to reduce draft for a vessel, that, and most of it's on an inbound basis, that means the ships in Europe, if they load the cargo, they'll have to offload it in Philadelphia before they come into Richmond. So we would lose that particular business. And then going outbound, if they had the cargo but they couldn't load it because of draft, it's either a delay to the shipper in shipping his cargo and a backup of cargo, or what they would do is over land, they would drive it up to Philadelphia to put on the ship to take to Europe.
I mean, all the question would be directed to the Pilot Association, but is there any danger in the ships meeting in such a narrow channel?
That's a coordination issue that the pilots handle so that they don't. There are certain areas of the James River that they can meet and pass going in opposite directions. There are other areas in the James River, particularly from Hopewell to Richmond, that they do not pass. Another issue I might mention briefly about the tide and restricting navigation to be at a certain point at a certain time for tide. We try to avoid bridge lifts at the James River Bridge during rush hours, yet you have to meet a tide restriction at let's say, a dancing point. You can't sail after sunset or before sunrise between Hopewell and Richmond. You're supposed to sail at high tide from Richmond. When you try to put all those factors together with additional restriction on it, it makes it very difficult.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Tankard.
Mr. Moynihan, yep. It sounds like you've got quite a logistical operation going there, and I guess could you give us a brief overview of how it is you determine that 1 foot of draft would cost you or the port $1 million?
I think Honeywell Corporation is going to have those numbers for you. The number I use is a general number that was presented to us by the Corps of Engineers in a study they did about a year ago or a year and a half ago as part of their budget preparation and justification for the federal budget with Congress. But the cost would be less cargo, fewer lifts, fewer man hours, the non-use of the space on the vessel. You could work in the cost of moving the cargo from Philadelphia to Richmond, or the incremental cost difference from Philadelphia to the receiver versus Richmond to the receiver.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Moynihan. Good to have you here, sir. Gentleman from, or lady from Honeywell, would like to speak? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
You raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
Thank you. State your name, who you represent, please.
I'm Robert Strickland. I'm a logistics manager at the Honeywell Hopewell facility, and I'm here to make comment to the situation. also would like to thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak to the commission as well.
Our pleasure, sir.
I also serve as a Port of Richmond commissioner as well, but I'm here to speak primarily of our impact to us on this. Just to give you an idea, at the Hopewell facility, we ship almost 1 million tons of ammonium sulfate fertilizer that's sold into Central and South of America, so the James River is extremely important to us. To do that, we bring ships in, and we usually fill them about two-thirds full, and then we have to top them off here in Norfolk to get them totally full. So we have to position product by barge out here and get it staged properly. One-inch change in the draft in terms of how much we can load the ship or the barge translates to about $1,000 an inch for us. If you multiply that out, just in the current restrictions as they are right now, that's going to cost us about $140,000 more per month for each as the current restrictions, and it can only, and depending on how they go up, it's going to just go bang, bang, bang for us in terms of our costs. We can easily see on an annualized basis nearly $1.5 million increase in freight costs at the current restrictions. So that's how it means to us here at Honeywell.
Any questions of Mr. Strickland from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Strickland.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Anyone else here? Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Nathaniel Green. I'm a pilot with the Virginia Pilot Association that runs the James River.
Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you, Mr. Green. Proceed, please.
I'm not here. I was asked to come here by the Corps of Engineers to help them with this issue. I pilot ships up and down the James River. I have for the last 19 years. So where they can speculate things, I'm not an engineer and they're not a ship pilot. We've got a situation here that we've had to reduce draft for which impacts Honeywell completely. We do not charge by draft. There's no financial change to me. So we're not here on that basis. What I'm here to say is we've got a restriction in the river that's based on androgynous fish studies and plumes. This is a river that under normal conditions looks like coffee with cream and sugar on a regular basis. And I don't want to question the science that implemented these things, but I've never seen any proof. I want to be careful that phrase this stuff. Anyhow, it's a wide part of the river. We do create a plume problem when we come through there on ships. I don't think that's a significant factor in anything dealing with the river. And I also see from 100 feet above the water the plume cloud created by dredging. It's a big clanky machine. It's not a pretty operation, but it's minimal compared to what comes down the James River on a daily basis. And from personal observation, after a storm or something like that, it affects all of Hampton Roads. So I hate to see us held up by something along those I wish I were better spoken about this. Anyhow, the issue for me is, for the last 15 years, we worked very hard with the Corps to minimize dredging. We've realigned channels. We've done everything. There is a tremendous impact to business that I hear about all the time when we reduce draft, because I'm generally the person that has to tell them it's going to happen. And right now, if we don't attack it, we're going to end up with potentially even more reductions in draft because of increased shoaling between now and July 15th. Okay. I wish that there was a better answer to it. I know that it's at the widest part of the river. I'm a fisherman. I'm a hunter. I have an appreciation for the conservation interest involved. But I just I think the one-time exclusion this time would be appropriate in regard to the efforts made by the Corps of Engineers, the pilots, and business on the river to avoid this over the last 15 years. And our track record's good, and I hope you will give that your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Any questions of Mr. Green? Thank you very much. Anyone else here in support of? Good morning, sir. State your name, please.
David Host with Keith Parker Host.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Host, proceed, please.
We've heard all these comments.
Yes, sir.
We're a ship agency. We're handling a lot of the business up and down the James River. I see the impact. And I just want to say I support the extending of the Corps' request. And in my opinion, we've been around for years, but it makes good sense. And I would hope that you would weigh favorably on this request.
How many vessels do you run up and down the from Norfolk to Richmond?
100 a year.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Host? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Do you want me to take a shot at it?
Right the break.
Anyone else in support of the project? You may want to take this call, Wayne.
I don't think so. I think it is time.
Is there anyone in opposition to the project? Is anyone here from the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries? Okay. Virginia Institute of Marine Science Law. Who's going to answer a shad question or two that I might have or whoever might have for the commission?
I'll take a shot at it.
Okay.
Only was hoping to be here to be able to be here today, but he's out of the state.
Okay. Well, before I start, does anyone have any questions of VIMS that they'd like to Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question relates to the proposed study as it pertains to the dredging project. That is, it was my understanding that you already have some established protocols from a previous study. Now, are those transferable to this project? I mean, that was conducted in an adjacent area, was it not?
Yes, it was conducted in the adjacent. The logistics do have to work out. That is correct. It was a one of a kind first time really study for this area. The last time, and there's a lot of hoops that we do not have to go through this time, but that is correct. A lot of things have to be in place for that to work, but in my last conversation with Dr. Olney, in his recommendation to Ben, that it may be doable if everything works out this time. But let me say this on that part, whether it's a condition of this permit or not, the confidence that we have in that to advise you is based on just 1 year of data, and that's where we're coming from. I mean, this, again, as you said, Mr. Commissioner, this is not an anomaly now since it's occurred. And if these things can occur from a storm event, we're prone to those in this area, of course, and we would recommend that this be a part, that this study continue in some fashion in the future to be able to advise you better on these things. And we have a concern about plumes. Depending upon where in the river, there's turbidity maximums that you can barely see the plume. We have conducted plume studies where the plume is very discernible, and especially from a gill-breathing fish. So it depends on where you are in the river. But noise was also a concern of ours from the operation of the dredge, how it would impact migration. And the first study, you've seen it. It may not have an effect at the larger part of the river. That's what 1 year has said. We do not know any more than that.
So may I ask a clarifier question?
Go
follow
ahead.
Up? So what you're suggesting is if we can get the logistics together for this study, which if everything I hear indicates that would be maybe doable, but at this juncture delaying may cause more potential environmental concerns than actually moving forward and addressing this in a study later on. Is that?
Well, we feel that if this time it would work out, then we think what we had that Dr. Olney had recommended, of course. But if not, if this is going to be a common practice or a need in this tributary, then to be able to better advise you on how it would affect shad, which we have a lot of state federal tax money.
Absolutely.
Going to restoration of shad. And is a species of concern right now, of course. We would feel much better with having some more data to go on to advise you, because we don't have a lot of confidence in just 1 year of data.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you, Lyle. Anyone, once again, in opposition to the project? The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the need to dredge this channel and to do so in a timely way has been well-established and documented by the testimony that we've heard today. I think the situation requires urgent attention. I think, too, that the time of year restriction generally is a recurring issue in this area due to the pervasive shoaling conditions that we're seeing. And I think it does serve the commission's interest as a manager to be well-informed on what the impacts of this type of dredging are to the anadromous fish species in that area. So I think I think it would be appropriate to require an anadromous fish study in conjunction with the dredging activity, provided that VIMS can put the protocols in place in a timely manner. I think if VIMS is unable to provide that information in a timely manner, that it should not be required. But I think it ought to be conditioned on their ability to develop the protocols for the study in a timely manner in conjunction with the dredging.
Any other comments?
Well, Mr. Schick. I think there was also a concern of actually getting the tags and other equipment, too. I think that needs to be a concern.
Well,
I think along with protocol. All
right. Dr. McConaughey?
Yeah. Since this is appears to be the second year in a row that we've been dealing with this, if they can't get the protocols and things in place for this year, I still think they should be required to do the study in a subsequent dredging area or some other time so that we have more than 1 year's worth of data.
Okay. Well, quite honestly, when this first came across my desk, I started asking the questions, why the need? Why wasn't the dredge available? What are the economic and the environmental issues? And I think they've all been adequately answered today. Certainly, as we were discussing earlier, Mr. Varnell was pertaining to the sensitivity of the shad. We're certainly sensitive to that species and want to do everything that we can to protect and promote the restoration of that. However, all you have to do is look at those cross-sections, and there's definite tangible evidence by both the cross-section from a scientific perspective and anecdotal evidence that you don't get any better from Mr. Green that there's a problem. My concern as commissioner is that we do the very best that we can from a scientific perspective from here on out. So having said that, the matter's before the commission for action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move to modify the existing permit to allow the overboard placement of dredge material through March 31st, 2007, as requested, with the condition recommended by staff that an anadromous fish study be conducted in conjunction with the dredging activity consistent with protocols established by VIMS, provided that VIMS is able to develop those protocols and put the study in place in a timely manner consistent with, or that would allow dredging to occur as scheduled.
Just so I clarify, if VIMS can get everything in order, the study would be conducted during this actual dredging?
Yes, sir.
If they cannot get it together, we will rely upon them to make that determination, and regardless, the dredging will continue?
Correct.
Second by Mr. McCleskey. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much for a very good presentation. Next item on the agenda is number 5, Rappahannock River Estates Civic Association.